Es ist ja jetzt so die Mittagszeit. Sie haben entweder schon was Leckeres gegessen oder haben das noch vor. Auf jeden Fall haben Sie sich offensichtlich entschieden, dass das Thema für Sie interessant ist. Ich darf mich kurz vorstellen. Ich bin hier als in Englisch Host, der Gastgeber, aber mehr so Gastgeber ist eigentlich Erich Markrander, der das hier alles organisiert hat. Ich darf das Thema und die Podiumsrunde moderieren. Mein Name ist Bernward Geier. Ich habe ein Kommunikationsbüro, bin Filmemacher unter dem Namen Collabora. Aber eigentlich kennt man mich so in der Biobranche. Zum einen, weil ich über 45 Jahre ein Aktivist im Bio-Bereich bin und auch vor allem, weil ich 18 Jahre lang Direktor des Weltverbands IFOM Organics International war. Und das gibt mir vielleicht auch so ein bisschen eine Berechtigung, die Session zu moderieren, die ein internationales Thema hat, ein globales Thema, over the globe. Die Beschaffung und die Diskussion um Rohstoffe aus internationalen Herkünften, weltweiten Herkünften. Und sinngemäß machen wir diese Session auch aufgrund der Tatsache, dass wir holländische und pakistanische Gäste im Podium haben, auf Englisch. Wir haben hier über die ganze Zeit des Organic Forums ein wunderbares Angebot an Simultanübersetzung. Wer also dem Englischen nicht so mächtig ist oder nicht mächtig ist und jetzt diesen Teil des Programms gut mitbekommen möchte, wird gebeten, sich ein Headset zu nehmen, weil wir werden komplett diese Session auf Englisch durchziehen mit entsprechendem Angebot der Übersetzung. Aber anscheinend sind alle der Englischen sehr mächtig. Ich muss es jetzt auch beweisen, because I switch now to English. So that I'm able to welcome our guest. As a matter of fact, first I welcome our speaker. We have a speaker before we start a panel discussion. And we are very, very happy to have with Stuart a company that is, you will tell us how long in the business, sourcing worldwide. You may wonder in the program originally printed in the magazine, we had hoped to have Pope Brahms. He has a little health issue, I think nothing to worry. But the more so are we very, very happy to have Jure Nerossian with us, who takes the place, who can tell us the Do-It story as well, and I assume as good. The floor is yours. We are all ready to hear from you about the supply chain in organic worldwide.
Thank you so much, Ben Warren. As I already said, Do-It is a name which is in fact an abbreviation. It says Dutch Organic International Trade. So it says it's an independent Dutch company. We only do organic products since about 30 years now, next year. And our role in the chain is to import products mainly from outside EU, organic products, into the EU. And from there, from Holland, we distribute them all over Europe. And we want to be a leading supply chain manager in 100% organic food ingredients. My name is Jurien Rosien. I'm in the company since about 20 years now, a little bit more than 20 years when I joined Do-It. And in the meantime, I am a pensioner as well, but still connected to this company that I think is very interesting and very important in the development of organic food in Holland and outside. And because of that, I'm also representing Do-It within several boards, and one of them is Bio Nederland, which is the organization of processors and traders in Holland. Our mission of Do-It, and already since Pope Abraham founded this company, is that we see organic farming and trading, distributing organic food absolutely part of an initiative to create a better world. And not only for ourselves in the Western world, but also in the countries where we get our products from, and I will tell you later. I was looking for this next sheet where you see a little bit about the history of Do-It. Founded in 1990, as I already said, next year we hope to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And in the meantime, we have developed a company which has a location in a city called Barneveld. And at this moment, we are with about 75 people, colleagues of mine, and we do a reasonable turnover. We are a stock holding importer, so we have our own warehouse in Barneveld. Then we see ourselves as developers of in the direction of a better world. So Do-It has been a founder in many international initiatives, of which I show here four examples in very different countries and continents. We are active in South America, in of course Asia, and also in India. And we accelerate their organic agriculture, but also implementing concepts like fair trade concepts, etc. More than just beyond certification. location, as we always say. We offer a range of products, which you can see at our website as well, so I will not do that too long. And we have two consumer brands through which we can reach consumers directly, because our raw materials, as you understand, are supplied to industry where they disappear and lose their identity. And in many countries, you will find this product through our wholesalers in Europe. We sell it in Europe only. Then, since a few years, we also package products, so we create consumer products for customers, not branded, our own brand, but private label for customers, and we only pack products that we import ourselves, so that we can fully guarantee the chain behind the product. Then, according to me, the more interesting part, at least according to me, is what is organic, in fact. And recently, just a 2 weeks ago, I think, this report was published calling organic a part of the solution for a better world, better food, better world. And it's very interesting to see that using the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, implemented or published in 2015 and now implemented in many, many, many places in food, you see that the same SDGs that are used and that are reflecting the organic production of food have a positive contribution, where the same SDGs evaluated for conventional food are very often negative impulses. So I can advise you to pick up this this report on the internet called Organic is Part of the Solution, and it was very convincing to me. So I absolutely wanted to show you this picture just to set the outline of my thinking about organic food and the future of organic food. What are the challenges that we see as an importing company for of raw materials? First of all, we see that it's not enough to be organically certified. There are many, many, many issues, and becoming more and more important every day, that go beyond the certification and that ask for a more holistic view and action on sustainability issues. We see that European sales is outgrowing the development in organic agriculture. So we absolutely have to team up farmers to produce more within Europe itself. And we see new technologies that enable us to do that. And we see new technologies to connect makers and eaters of food locally or regionally. We have technologies to increase transparency, to talk about real and fair pricing of food. And I think these things can absolutely help us. One of the things that we are really worried about, a little bit worried about, or not a little bit, I'm quite worried about it, is the new EU organic legislation that will be introduced 1st of January 2021, where I think the main difference is that we are moving from a system of equivalence to a system of compliance. It takes out negative things, like for instance, we can now introduce NOP products from ways of production that are forbidden in organic here in Europe. But on the other hand, the danger of a compliance-based system is that original, local, traditional ways of production could really be taken out, could be not allowed anymore. And I think that could lead to a loss. It's something that we really have to take and critically look at. On the other hand, we, as an importer of raw materials into the EU, we very often see enormous disharmonies within the European countries. So we absolutely hope that this new legislation, and we have the impression that it does, that it will lead to a solution of many of these disharmonies. And first of all, we are promised to get in 2024, finally, a pesticide or a residue legislation, which the EU legislation in organic never had. Also a cause of disharmonies between the countries. And in that respect, the politicians in Brussels have asked for input of the organic movement and the organic companies, and we absolutely hope that they will do that. That is what I wanted to show you. And if you're ready to join the mission, then please.
Yes, thank you very much, Jurien. I think this was very interesting to see how a company is so successful with organic trade over 30 years, building it up between organic and dynamically, I would say. You had certainly growth rates other sectors in the food industry would love to have. On the other side, you pointed out already a few of the challenges where we will go in the debate into it. So I ask you to join us here on the green couch. This is not a therapeutic couch. Here is the solution couch, to pick up your phrase and slogan. By the way, iPhone had for a long time a phrase which I had coined in the late 80s, early 90s, proud to be part of the solution. Already then, we had this understanding that we are not claiming we are the solution, because we need many solutions, proud to be part. Certainly proud to be part, and certainly offering a solution is our next guest. I'm very happy to welcome Assam Kader and ask him also to come to the podium. It's interesting, of course, and fair enough, to have an importer, to have a trade person here to represent the global issue of organic markets. But I think the real competence comes now in terms of the point of view of a producer in a supplying country, because you will probably share with us there is not much of an organic market in Pakistan, but you certainly have shown that you have beautiful products, that you have something to offer, that you are part of the solution. And I would like to ask you, as an introduction of this panel, tell us a little bit about your company, how it came all up and built up. For those I see, I'm sure a lot of you are German reading, I make a little promotion. There has been a beautiful story written about, which I right away digged into it in red, in the Biofachpress magazine, which is out at your disposal on every corner here. So we will hear now live the story. It's better than reading, but it's also nice to have a read up afterwards. Welcome, Assam, and please tell us, what are you doing with Touch Food in Pakistan? And
Thank you very much. You know, I am living in USA since 1980, and 91 I started business in USA. Then I saw the opportunity that we can do some organic business, and 93 we opened the company in Pakistan, and 2003 we were able to certify as organic. So it took us quite a while, and we still struggling, because it's not easy with the farmers when we are going after the organic. So we've been doing rice, raisin, dates, sesame seed, and a bunch of other dried food from Pakistan.
Very nice. Who are your suppliers and who does certify you?
Our supplier, the farmers. You know, we have contract farmers, and Control Union is the certifier for us. Mm. And we also have Fairtrade, we have Crave and IFS, all those certificate which is necessary to do business in the US and Europe.
Very interesting. And your suppliers, are they organized in a way, or is it bilateral? You contract each supplier?
Our farmers are all over. Like, we have Japonica rice, they grow in mountains, and long grain, they grow in south, and basmati grow in Punjab, and same thing with the dried fruit is grown in Hunza Valley, which is quite far. So it's all scattered.
And just so we learn, after we heard the Do-It story, you have your customers directly around the world, and if so, where are they? Are they in Europe, in the US, of course? Or do you work also with a trade in between, a middle?
We are selling to the traders. We're not selling anybody directly. We're selling people like Do-It.
You are partner of Do-It?
No, unfortunately not.
Not yet. But
no,
that
not
may
yet.
Change.
Not yet.
I'm sure you have a coffee afterwards.
Yeah, we will. Of course. So
now we have many other customers, and we've been doing with Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, and Denmark, and USA. Our biggest customer is in Belgium.
In Belgium.
Yeah, we also specialize in baby food, rice.
All right. Of course, this is a sector which in Germany, since 20 years, is almost exclusively organic.
Yeah.
For given reasons. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I stay a little bit with him, as we want to learn a bit more about the your company and your field of activities. I'm a bit surprised when I hear the countries you do business with. Asia is also a booming market. Even China, also if it comes to baby food, if I think about milk.
Yes.
It's much closer. You're basically part of it. What is with your home continent?
No, you see, since I've been living in USA, and we felt comfortable in US and Canada. Asia is a growing market, but we had more comfort level here. Naturally, one day we will go after Asian market as well.
Maybe one final question for this first round of introduction to get to know you and your company a bit more. You mentioned your certifier, you mentioned other certifications with acronyms, which maybe not everybody knows. So maybe you can tell us. So it's obviously you're certified for the different markets according to the EU regulation, Japan.
We are certified NOP and EU. which cover both okay. U.S. and Canada and Europe.
Okay, NOP is the National Organic have, Program
we have
in the Crave,
U.S. We have Crave, which is for Scandinavian market.
And you use yeah. Play to the EU rules accordingly.
Yes.
Good. Do you encounter a problem with certification? I mean, is the cost a factor? Because you must certify your farmers, and I suppose there are many small producers. Can they handle certification costs?
It is not easy, but we have a few people in the field who try to educate the farmer, try to make sure they are convinced and it's better for them for long run. Okay.
And do you pay the certification or does
yes.
the you paid it for certification.
Farmers are too poor.
Yeah.
They don't want to do anything.
They probably would have spent all the income yeah. they do in for the
certification. We same time we have a few programs. We have farming program for farmer. We have for education. We have for water program. We have orphan program. We're running about 6 different programs to help the community.
Maybe I do have a final question for this moment, because you mentioned you're also fair trade certified. That means you pay a premium price to the farmers and you pay a bonus. So can you tell us a little bit what is the social aspect of your quality
on
products?
The fair trade?
Yeah,
the
fair trade. On fair trade.
Fair trade, naturally, we have to pay them extra money to the farmer, which basically mostly going into the schools and on their children for education.
Yes.
We are emphasizing on farmers, girls' education. Because if the girls are educated, they can do better.
Mm-hmm. That is obviously a gender issue, the women issue, the role of women in agriculture is certainly a very interesting topic and a
yes.
good investment.
It's,
huh?
It's a lot of the lot of issues
yes.
when it comes to organic, especially when we're going to have more and more restriction, it will be get tough.
Okay. Now, do you want already react to what you heard? Is this typical for your suppliers to have a company so engaged, going way down to the field, training
absolutely.
The farmers?
Absolutely, and do it as a company. We are too small to have our own agricultural projects, of course, so we need reliable connections to companies like this one. And we have, and the remark that I wanted to make is that, for instance, within Do It, we have been looking for fair trade schemes that are workable for our farmers. And that means that we have been looking for fair trade schemes, and we found one, which is Fair Trade IBD, for instance, which can be combined in the organic certification. So where you have only one inspector visiting the farmers and the production facilities, instead of two, where you could have discrepancies between the interpretations that they make. So
yeah.
that's an addition to we think that fair trade, fair pricing, as I already
yeah.
mentioned, is an issue for the future, and we think it's very important.
We obviously have consensus here, and I'm sure in the audience, that organic and fair belongs together. If organic is not fair, something is wrong. If fair is not organic, certainly something
yeah,
left
I
to
know,
do.
I know, but the remark that I want to make yeah. is that it is... It's the same for soil fertility. It's
yeah.
the same for biodiversity. It's the same for water usage. It's the same for energy usage. All these issues,
yeah.
we, until in the 40 years that I know
yeah.
the organic movement, I've always thought that, but now we have to prove that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deliver the proofs.
Right.
And so we really have to organize that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the difference with the past, where we assumed that we were.
Just for your understanding, because again, the acronym was used, the fair and IBD is Instituto Biodinamico in Brazil, I suppose.
Yeah.
That stays for the institute. That is the certifier, the big, traditional, old, longest in business certifier who came out from the biodynamic to certifying Demeter, and who was one of the very first to offer a combination, not the known fair trade scheme, which we find a lot here, the transfer scheme, the international transfer scheme, but they have their own rules. They control it in one set. And we had yesterday, and I mentioned it in a bit in detail, we had yesterday a session here where we discussed this issue with a local fair trade for European, for Germany actually, and with Naturland, who offers this in Germany,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
Quite successful. So you have a chocolate with fair trade cocoa, but also a fair price to the dairy farmer in Germany who is struggling maybe as much as a farmer in the south.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is this for you an option? At the moment, I think you are in the transfer scheme, in the international fair trade scheme. Is this what the organic sector can offer with certification? Actually, now various organizations offer this combination. They define probably fair trade a bit different, maybe not the fixed price, the guaranteed price or so. Nevertheless, a lot of fair trade elements, so it's fair to call it also fair trade. Would that be for you an option to reduce certification costs, burden on farmers, that they have all in one?
Fair trade is quite expensive. Now the SRP is coming, which they're trying to eliminate fair trade audit. So they can have one person who can do organic and fair price.
But that would be still the certification for the transfer scheme, for the international fair trade scheme.
Yeah, I think next year, they've been working in Germany. They just got a license. I think next year they will be doing it for SRP.
Yeah, this is certainly very good and very good news and important. I remember I have been traveling a lot in my iPhone time, and I was once in a coffee place in Latin America, and they had 7 inspectors coming in the course of the year, because the Americans send their inspector, NOP inspectors, then the Europeans send their inspector, then came transfer. They maybe did also Rainforest Alliance to have more market opportunities, etc. So this is quite crazy, actually. And we have to work, and equivalence is a way to go that we have also in certification equivalence. We try to be interactive. We have very interesting guests who shared already a bit on the topic. But I, again, would like to turn to you and give you an opportunity to ask a question or to make a comment, a statement, not a co-speech necessarily, because we have a total of 45 minutes for this session. Who would like to break the ice, as we say? Yes, that's good. Then we have a microphone. She will help you. Maybe you say who you are, where you come from, so we know a little bit who is here entering the debate.
Hello, I'm Victoria. We are from Chile. We are turning some hazelnut farms into organic. So my question is related with sustainability. What do you do with other aspects of your production? How you do it with the water, with the soil? What do you have in between? How you do to be the complete sustainability in the farm?
Yes, I think this is, you have probably from your projects and your partners some idea. Certainly you, as you are directly connected with the farmers, In your business, you both should be able to address this.
Well, first of all, from a doer perspective, as I already mentioned, I think the development of the SDGs, is the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, are one of the newer threats that can lead you to the issues and evaluate the issues that you meet on the aspects that you mentioned. In Holland, we had a scheme called Eco Keurmerk, which is an eco brand, EKO in Dutch. This was a gift from our certifier when the European logo was obliged in 2012. And they said to us, please bring your broader sustainability issues in this Eco Foundation. And we started with that. So we developed codes for farmers, for processors and traders, and for shops. But in an existing 40-year-old movement with many stubborn people like me in the population, you can imagine that it takes a few years to have this landed. And in the meantime, I think we are overrun by the SDGs from the United Nations. So I advise you to evaluate your propositions in your production to the SDGs of the United Nations. And we are, of course, willing to help you in that respect. Is that an answer?
From your point of view, how do you get the broader issues that for me are part and connected with organic, but that seem to be beyond organic, in the greater context of sustainability to your farmers? How does, for example, water?
So for that one, we have to make sure we have traceability all the way from the farmer to the consumer, and the same time, all the control, whoever the certifier is, they have to make sure they check everything.
Yeah. If I may allow to add a point of view out of my iPhone experience, we had also a saying, as a matter of fact, the term of sustainability, we know it comes from the forestry. Actually, it was coined in Germany. And then we saw a hijacking of this term. Everybody after Rio 92 jumped on sustainability. You saw all of a sudden chemical companies like Bayer or Monsanto making advertisements for pesticides and poisons with a ladybug on it and saying, oh, sustainable pest control. So it was the point where we had to bring to the attention of the world the very first Organic World Congress, 77 people from the world, nowadays it's 3,000 coming, had the titled Towards a Sustainable Agriculture. So this is our turf. So we have to become defensive, and then we coined the phrase organic agriculture is sustainability put into practice. Instead of blah blah rhetoric and marketing, we show, and whatever an organic farm do has to have and deliver to sustainability, and at the end the end result has to be sustainable as close as we can get. Nobody is perfect. Okay, but we have still a bit of time. Is there another question from the audience? Last chance, because it's too late. Then the next session is. Seems not to be the place. Then I return to the round here. There's one topic I still would like to get back to. You made the point of the EU regulation and the problem of equivalence and compliance. This is a very, very important point you say, because equivalence is something different from compliance. As I'm sure not everybody in the audience has dealt in detail with this, could you explain this a bit, maybe on examples?
Well,
for example, maybe the NOP, which allows things that are not at all thinkable in here.
Hydroponic.
Maybe you can elaborate.
Hydroponic production, for instance. Yes. So our organic legislation in the EU prescribes that plants are growing in soil, in the ground. They are soil connected. That's absolutely without any doubt. In the US, since I think it's last year or the year before, they also allowed, under great pressure of companies, they allowed hydroponic production as organic, as NOP certified as well. The problem in the equivalent legislation situation as it is now is that we have an equivalency agreement with the US from the EU, from Brussels, where products that are under NOP certified, produced in the US, are automatically EU allowed as well. And so this enables products in the market that we, in fact, in Europe do not want. That is a disadvantage of equivalency. But of course, you can fine-tune this regulation and the agreement with the US, but until now, that hasn't happened. Compliance is something totally different, and it has potential disadvantages as well. We really have to think about that, because sometimes in production processes in India or in Thailand, they have certain very old traditional ways of processing, or for instance storage of products, where under compliance all the means of production and the way of producing should be certifiable in the EU, and that is something that, if you think it through, then it's an enormous complex matter. So compliance has advantages, disadvantages, but we really have to be very critical on that.
Okay, this is certainly also an issue that will be with us for time or forever, because this tension field is there. Just hydroponic, and why is this so hot, and why is it so unacceptable here? It's the only place in the world, is the national regulation of the US, that allows hydroponics. Hydroponics, for those who are not into gardening and growing, this is growing without soil, growing on a substrate, growing on clay or on stones, or on rock wool or coconut wool or whatever. So this is a fundamental contradiction to the paradigm of organic, healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy food, healthy animals, healthy people. So that doesn't work. If you already have healthy soil, you have no soil. As a matter of fact, it is impossible to spray Roundup or glyphosate on the floor, because you put containers on it. So it's really a serious issue. Another example, we don't get dairy products so much from the US, but they have dairy units with 10,000 cows. Yep. By nature, I had a dairy farm, I was engaged in organic. That's not possible organic. It's organic certified, because they cannot graze, and they have to have grazing. Another rule, even in the EU reg, but you cannot graze 10,000 cows. They would walk the milk off you want to milk. And going to the farm away paddocks.
If you see the pictures of farms
it's
like that.
It's factory farming at its worst.
Totally convincing.
All right. Okay. So there would be a very last chance to end the debate. This is not the case. Then for the roundup, it's quite good tradition, I think, in panels, that you give us an outlook. And while you do so, and as we have a little time for, let's say, a two-minute statement of each, maybe if you can spend a minute or half of the time, there's one critical issue about global trade. Globalization is great. It's the matter what we globalize. Do we globalize organic, or do we globalize GMO Monsanto world? But is the And I say now it's Tuesday for Future, the Friday for Future Fest, the climate question. How do you tackle, especially you, with the fact that you bring food from far away? This is for Chile producers an issue of sustainability and of climate issues. It needs a CO2 footprint, which local produce would not have. So no question about coffee and bananas, that we don't have a debate. But when we come to hazelnuts, as we heard, or to, let's say, raspberries, which are quite a product from Chile, we do have an issue. How do you tackle? And is this an issue for you as well, where America is not so hot on the issue, but I think it's changing?
Well, for the future, I see, first of all, I have a future in which I think 100% organic is possible, is one of the opportunities.
Would have been my guess.
If we do that, then I think that very many products that are now imported from outside EU can be produced within EU itself. But there will be very nice, very, let's say, for a culture, for a food culture, very important products. If you want to eat real basmati rice, then don't produce it in the Po Delta, but produce it, import it from Pakistan. But it's something you don't eat on a daily basis. So there are many products like coconut products that we do not produce within the EU. And so we will keep on importing them. So I see a future role of DO-IT, but a different one. Now we fill the gap of the outgrowing sales or demand for organic food and the development of the production.
Okay, so more organic farming here.
Absolutely.
You have less volume in beans or in some dry
food. But more in other products. I see a continuous future for DO-IT. Yeah.
It's always nice. Everybody has a perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, and then please, as a final round from you, Assam, is climate an issue in your business, just climate in Europe or in the US?
And climate is making a big difference, because the weather is changing, we have to come up with a different method of processing, storage, and transportation, which is bringing costs up for everybody, which is alarming. So we need to think, if, like he said, if we grow locally, it's more better, and everybody, if they want to stay healthy, we have to go more organic.
Okay, I'm sure you both have a bright future ahead, because I'm fully with you. We go for 100% organic. I make a little promotion for the overnext session, where we exactly discuss this issue with our former Minister of Agriculture. Is this a crazy idea, or is it doable? We do it. It's doable, so we do it. At this point, it's not just my obligation, but my pleasure to thank you both for this wonderful contributions, sharing us this global perspective, this insight. We wish you, of course, great success in the future. I made it a tradition that I thank the ladies in the dark here for the translation, which was luckily to all your good English knowledge or your native languages. Okay, and again, the technical side was very well handled. Another man in the dark. So we have a little break, a little change. I can already invite you, if you are not ready for the show floor again, that we have a future vision about, is the end of Big Food and how do we eat tomorrow? So we have a keynote speak and a panel after that, and we start here 13:15 on time. Die Fanfare kenne ich. So, hallo.
Ich bin
ja. Man kann gucken, dass alle da sind. Kannst du noch?